Record and then I will start. All right, welcome to our third episode of the podcast, second interview. Today we have doctor or professor.
I mean, you could say both. It's neither, but you could say both.
Well, we have Corey Dumasnell on our podcast today. He is a math person works. So I'll initially start by asking you, what got you interested in math and why math over the other STEM disciplines?
And not to like confuse anyone, I do teach math. I'm not just math guy. I just don't have any of your fancy PhDs. I don't do any research because, you know, who wants to do new math when you could revisit the classics? So I would say I didn't like math until about the fifth grade, which I know in the grand scheme of things isn't that long. But once like we learned multiplication and exponents, it really started to click that like, oh, this is something. And I always liked how in math there was a right answer. Like I always hated English when it was like compare why this story is about nature and then, you know, I just always felt like I was being graded on an opinion rather than like X is seven. You can't argue against that. So that's probably what first drew me to it.
That's
and as to why like the other STEM disciplines are much worse than math, I would say, you know, they all deserve to exist. I'm not going to be the person who tells you not to be a physics major, but I mean, oof, what a life. I like that math is sort of not very useful in any one specific instance, but in every instance, it's kind of useful. So I like to think of math as sort of the butter knife of the cutlery, to where like, it's rarely ever the best device for the job. Like if you want to cut through a steak, you're not going to want a butter knife, but it could technically do it. So that's that.
That sounds great. But also, it's funny that you mentioned the fifth grade comment, because I feel that's the tipping point to where everyone starts to run away from math. Do you maybe have any tips on people who are like older or further along to stop running away from math? Because I feel like people are more inclined to joke about like, oh, it's okay, I'm bad at math, than maybe other subjects.
Yes, it's actually, well, on the side, I don't know how long from this recording this will be posted, because this might date it terribly. But it's funny that you mentioned that, because just last night, I watched an episode of Fargo season 4, which everyone should watch. I'm not sponsored by them, but they're great. And in that episode, there's a guy who says he's bad at math, and someone else laughs and points out that no one ever says they're like bad at English or bad at, you know, any of the other subjects. It's always, oh, I'm bad at math, and they laughed it off. So it's literally the thing you just said. I think the reason people tend to dislike math is the very reason I tend to like it, which was, it's very easy to see either you're right or you're wrong. So if you're like bad at English, and I'm not trying to, you know, rain on English's parade, my sister's an English teacher, it's a great subject, but like you can kind of not know it and fake your way through it for the most part. You can kind of be like, oh, adjectives, you know, they describe a thing, and you can get your way through it. But with math, it's real hard to fake knowing it or not knowing it, which makes it easy to grade, because you can very quickly tell like, oh, this person doesn't know what factorials are or whatever it is. So advice for not running away would be that there's definitely a difficulty plateau, and I don't know how many students would agree with this, but at a certain point it doesn't get harder, it just looks different, but you're pretty much just rearranging the chairs. I would argue right when you hit integration and calculus. That's probably the last new thing you'll see. And everything else after that is just like, well, what if we move it to this way? Because like, they've been doing that for years. Division is just multiplication in reverse. Addition is just subtraction. There's only like two things in math, and we just change it enough to make it look like a long time. But my experience in grad school was after the first two classes, it was a breeze, because everything was just the same except, you know, we use parentheses or whatever.
What was grad school like in math? And would you recommend it? But also, what made you go that route as opposed to another pre-professional or straight into career type program?
Well, in high school, this may come as a shock, but I was not like a jock in high school. I know everyone thinks of me, anyone who knows me, they're like, oh, muscle guy Corey. But in high school, everybody pressured me like, you gotta be an engineer, you're good at math, you're gonna make millions, blah, blah, blah. So I actually started undergrad as an electrical engineering major. But after my first engineering class, I think it was circuits, I hated it. So I was like, this is awful. So I switched to, I think mechanical engineering was next. And I ended up changing my major 15 times before I settled on math. This was back when you could change your major for free. So, you know, I wasn't just like balling with money or anything. But eventually I figured out like, oh, the thing I like about all of these classes is just the math. And I remember the day that I changed my major for the last time because I went to my, it was probably civil engineering at that time. I went to my civil engineering teacher and I said like, does the math get harder? Because like I was just bored. And he was like, oh, don't worry, it doesn't. And that's when I was like, that's not what I wanted to hear, because that was the only part I liked. So I switched to math, which I didn't even know you could do. I didn't know that was a major you could be. And yeah, that was like, okay, good. I don't need to like make $1 million. I'll just solve for why.
I'm going to ask the arguably worst question that many people can get about their major or their process in life. But what can you do with that?
Well, I'll tell you, that question has followed me around for 15, 20 years, however long. Math is on almost every STEM jobs. Like if you look on a job listing and it's like, what are the requirements? Almost all of them have math degree, but the problem is it's always like the third or fourth one listed. Because the thing is, if you have a math degree, you've shown you can do the math required for the job. And most jobs, I can't speak for all of them, but most jobs, then it usually just becomes, they'll just train you to do the thing they do. So like if you have an electrical engineering job or something, all it means is like, it'll take 3 months. They'll show you like, this is what you do, and then you're good. So the only problem with a math degree is not that you can't get a job. You just have to be lucky enough to like hedge your bets that you're good at the other stuff too, to beat out like, if you're going for an electrical engineering job, and there's an electrical engineering grad who applied, they're probably gonna get it first. So if you want to do math research, which I did not like. I'll tell you this. I got a master's in statistics. And then they were like, Corey, you should get a PhD. And I would say when I was two semesters away from that master's, it was when I was like, I've learned as much as I need to. Some of my colleagues in the department will like, you know, you ask them about integrals and they'll go off on poetry about like, it's the most beautiful thing in nature. And I didn't need all that. I'm good at it, but I'm not in love with it. So yeah, once I got my master's, I was like, that's enough for a teaching job. That'll do. So if you'll know pretty quickly if you want to be in math or not, because like I said, it plateaus. At a certain point, you're like, this is what I need to know how to do. If I hate this, like switch to engineering. I know it doesn't sound like a not mathy job, but it's like, if math is sugar, then the cake is the engineering job. You don't see the math lots, but it's in there, and without it, it wouldn't be good. I'm not a big cake fan, but I'm more of a cookie guy.
Okay, sounds good. A lot of good points. With statistics versus the rest of math, what was the selling point on getting a master's in that as opposed to, I'm sorry, I don't know the way the picking your concentration in math goes, but as opposed to the other math concentrations, like maybe geometry, what was more appealing about statistics than those other concentrations?
Hang on 1 second. So sorry.
Yeah,
I'm sorry. So there's three concentrations you can choose, basically. There's pure math, there's applied math, and then there's statistics. And so pure math is like if you want to do just the purest of math research, like you go into, imagine math with no numbers, and then imagine math with no symbols that you recognize, that's pure math. And they're like the people who are just so far removed, they're doing the research that in 200 years we'll be using that in calculators, et cetera, et cetera. That was not my jam. Applied math is sort of the happy middle ground of engineering and math, where you're using math in applied instances. And that's usually the one in my experience that, like, if people get a double major and like math and engineering or math and something else, they'll go with that because it works pretty well together. The reason I chose statistics might not be the reason anyone else chose, but in addition to doing math, I really like doing improv and acting. And for lack of a better word, in statistics, you can pretty much say whatever you want and then back it up with math. It's the closest thing we have to lying with science, because like with statistics, I mean, it's the sketchier version of statistics, but like you can pretty much stretch the numbers to do whatever you want. And so I kind of view it as like, if I can do statistics, I can pretty much justify whatever I need to. And I don't use those powers for evil, you know, but that's sort of what drew me to it, was just the idea that like, we rarely ever have certain answers in statistics. You're just like 96% sure that the number is 12, and then maybe it is. I know you don't. There you go.
So would you say that's more lying or persuasion? And also, is there some kind of test to back up those numbers or manipulating the numbers? Or is it just the manipulation you chose? It's there, that's it.
Well, the thing about statistics is like, we very rarely have all the information. If we did, we wouldn't be doing statistics with it. We would just do like calculus. So it's a thing of like, let's say I wanted to know the average height of all the students in colleges around the world. I can't possibly measure them all. There's no way. So what we do is we take a sample of them. And there's like so many ways, and this is kind of what you learn in grad school, of how many ways can you tip the scales one way or the other? Because like there's the obvious ones like selective sampling, where it's like, if I want to show that the average height is shorter, I'll try to like find shorter people to survey. And then I'll be like, oh, look, the average height is 3'2", crazy. Or you can do more sophisticated stuff like, what test are you doing to show that it's higher or taller? And then it's sort of the different methods you learn can lean one way or the other. So the way of telling, like, did you tell the truth or not, really falls to like, if you, like, let's say I surveyed 100 people and I kept that data, then I do a bunch of statistics with it. But if you came back and just looked at that data, you would know where it all started. So then you could say, ah, well, this doesn't really look like what you're saying, but there is math to connect it. So you'd be like, ah, Corey's a liar and he's a terrible man, stuff like that.
Okay, sounds good. Sounds reassuring that you can't just pull numbers out of air and—
Oh, no, no, I would never. That's madness.
Okay, if you didn't choose math or engineering, would there have been any other STEM discipline that you would have tried? Or what are the more interesting, out of the 15 times you've changed your major, what were the more interesting changes?
I could have ended up going computer science, because I do like the very logical way coding works, where it's like if then, and it's a very structured way of doing things. I think the two things that conspired against me ending up going that way was, one, you don't quite do as much math as the other STEM fields. It's more based in logic and then learning the different languages. And then two, and this will show people how old I am, my sophomore year when I took my first and ended up being only computer science course, it was the semester Katrina hit UNO. So I ended up taking that class online. And thank goodness, 15 years later, we've gotten better at online classes. Like now there's video and stuff. Then it was just like your teacher emailed you stuff and was like, read this. So I taught myself C++, and that probably didn't help me love programming because I was like, I don't know what's going on. So maybe if it had been a different semester, I would have loved it and gone that route. So I've always, like, about once every 2 years, I'll think to myself, I'm going to teach myself some coding. And I never do, but I always think it. So probably computer science, definitely not biology. I hate it so much. I never liked biology. There's no facet of it where I'm like, I need to be in this world. So
you've never just seen a frog and been like, hey, I want to pick it up.
Oh, no. I had to, in high school, I had to cut open a fetal pig and a frog. And I was like, oh, good. Now I know I'm never going to want to do this. So no, thank you. If I could vote out one of the sciences, it would be biology. But I know we need it. It's important.
Sorry, but, biologists out there.
Yeah, if we have to cut one, that's going to be my vote straight away.
You mentioned that. Sorry, you mentioned that math or statistics deepened your love for improv, or maybe you said that the other way around. Did you maybe want to talk a little bit about improv, why you like it, and why it's another important part of your life outside of the sciences that you do?
Sure. So it's kind of on the other end of the spectrum, because I like math because, like I said, there's an answer, and that's the answer. So if X is 1, that's the only answer we get. Hooray. Improv, on the other side, was literally, there's no wrong answer. You can just make up whatever. So it makes for a very good hobby when you're like, when you've done 7 hours of math homework or whatever, you need to like decompress. Doing the complete opposite is a great pairing. And I turned out to be good at it, which also helped. But I would recommend everybody get good at improv, because I mean, again, I would never lie for the purposes of evil. I'm very good at it, but I would never do that. But for instance, if you're teaching, it's good to be able to think on your feet, which is all improv is. Because I can't tell you like how many teachers I've had, and people listening can probably relate. If you're in a class and then you ask the teacher a question they don't know, and they're not good at like thinking on their feet, there's a lot of teachers who just like that stalls them out, and then they spend 20 minutes just on the board thinking to themselves like, well, how did I get this wrong? And then like, that's your day. Nobody wins in that scenario. But if you can just think on your feet like, oh, blah, 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 and then you move on, it's a great skill to have. It's good for talking to people. It's good for teaching. I haven't not used my ability to think of stuff in the moment, probably since I learned how to do it.
It sounds like with both of your loves, they kind of marry two things that people are very fearful of. One, the math again, and two, stage fright. And just with, I know a lot of people, they don't like doing things that are unfamiliar because they can't anticipate some kind of outcome. Would you say that you're attracted to both of those because it helps you think on your feet? Or what would you like to comment on both of those?
How long have I taught? Like 7 years-ish? Let's say about 7 years-ish now. I've learned to sort of spot that there's pretty much two types of math students. There's people who like just will not ever excel at math. And that's not like a fault of theirs. It's just something in their brain where they're like, this isn't how I work. Similar to me in biology. We're not going to mesh. I'm never going to know what genus the whale is, and that's fine. The other type is sort of people who have been conditioned to think like math is bad. And there are a lot of important fights to have in this world. The evilization of math is probably pretty low on the list, because like people tell you like, oh, math is scary, blah, blah, blah. And so like growing up, you're either going to fall in the camp of like, no, I can do it, or it's a very polarizing issue, which I think is why people say stuff like, oh, I'm bad at math, but nobody ever says like, I'm bad at history, because who cares? You know, it's like, oh, I don't know the 50 capitals. But I think the best selling point for definitely improv or public speaking is that if you want to impress someone, and I don't know why this would be your motivating factor, but it appeals to a lot of people. This is what I tell people when like I trained them for improv is, everyone gets nervous before they speak in public. There's not a person alive. You'd have to be like a sociopath to just turn off that in your brain. But if you think of it this way, of like, most of the people in the crowd are afraid to do it. And the ratio of like difficulty to do and impressiveness peaks at public speaking, because like, I don't know how to do surgery, but if I did surgery in front of someone, that'd probably be impressive. If it's like, oh no, he's having a heart attack, and I like cut him open on the street. But again, biology is not my thing. But just being able to talk on a stage takes very little work, and everybody's like, oh my gosh, look at that. They just went up there and they didn't know what they were going to say, and they said stuff. So the ratio of like being able to do something impressive without having to put in a lot of effort peaks at public speaking and probably like eating a lot of food. That's also one that for some reason impresses people, but that one's a little more dangerous. So I would say it's, for, I don't want to belittle anyone's fears, but like it's an easy thing to do once you overcome the stigma of like, oh, math is a scary world. It's like, there's negative numbers. I guess that's scary.
As for bombing or being heckled or booed in both teaching and improv, is that something that definitely decreases the more experience you get? Or are there still going to be the occasional night where the crowd's energy is just not right? People aren't really being receptive of what you're saying. Do you still get booed? I hope not in the classroom, but do you still occasionally get booed in either setting?
Well, now that class is on Zoom, I can just mute them if they boo me. But I don't really get too booed anymore. However, I did relish it whenever I was in improv because, and this is going to sound cliche, but you do learn more from your failures than your successes. Like if I get hundreds on all my tests, I hated it. This is terrible advice to give people, but when I was in college, I wouldn't study at all for my first test because I knew that would be the worst I could perform. Is if I don't study at all, just kind of like go to class, pay attention, and I get like a 65. Now the pressure's on that I can't do worse than that because I can't afford two bad tests. And it would tell me like, okay, if I'm not studying and I get a 65, I need to put in X amount of effort. But if I get like a 20, this is going to be a very difficult class. Now, I'm not suggesting anyone burn a test, but it worked for me because then I'm like, okay, if I got a 95 and I didn't study, this is probably that one geology class I took that was really easy. Did I learn any geology? No, I still know none of it. Cretaceous might be a type of rock? I don't know. So yeah, as far as like failing, it's going to happen no matter what. If you never fail, odds are you're probably not challenging yourself, which is never a good thing. Because you can like, I could just teach addition and I probably would never mess up. But what would be the point?
So you're saying challenge yourself because in the long run, it's worth it.
Yeah, you get better the more you challenge yourself. And that obviously means you're going to fail at times. The important thing is to learn from it. Some people will fail and then just stop. And then that's pointless. You know, you want to figure out why did I fail? Because that's interesting. And then what can I do to avoid that?
As for teaching with math, is that your number one on your list? When it came to jobs, or did you just try it and like it? If it was number one, what would be maybe your number two or your number three pick of what you would do for a job? And it doesn't have to be in STEM also. Completely open answers.
It's a little bit of a stereotype that when I was going to school for math, the first thing people would say is like, oh, so you're going to be a math teacher? And, you know, part of me wanted to be like, no, I'm going to build a bridge or whatever it is. Engineers do drive trains. But for me, I just sort of like started tutoring other students and I figured out I was really good at presenting these complicated ideas in simpler ways. Which won't sound good if earlier in this interview I made like a really bad metaphor or something that confused people because that's not going to convince them. But yeah, I just sort of had a knack for being able to communicate it. And I started to see that I had some teachers who were obviously very smart, but we're too smart to teach stuff at a lower level. That's what happens with a lot of professors. They sort of start to do research, especially the pure math guys I talked about, and they just get so far that, like, trying to teach algebra is so foreign to them that they're just bad at it. So I knew that I was better equipped to teach than I was to research, because I get bored reading a book. Like, I'd have to come up with new math. I mean, we've had the same numbers for I don't know how long. What am I going to do? Put one between 12 and 13? The elevators would be ruined. So, yeah, like, I was just good at it, and that sort of lent to, because I've always thought, like, well, what else am I going to do? And the sort of selling point of teaching was it gives me some free time to do other stuff. Like, it's a demanding schedule, especially when you're grading, but there are some days where you just have, like, you know, a morning class and then an afternoon class and then you're done. So, like, my friends were making a movie because they graduated from the film department. And so I had time to be in that movie while I taught. And so a big selling point was like, okay, well, the schedule's pretty loose. The weekends are usually free, stuff like that. So if I weren't doing math teaching, I would have either, and I guess I still could, I'm not dead yet, either go into, like, some sort of writing, because I enjoy doing that, or acting, probably not anything with business, because I know that it's a necessary evil, but I don't know how many of your listeners are business students, but I can't do that. I have to wear a suit. Also, not wearing a suit was huge on my list. Being able to wear a t-shirt to work is very underrated.
Sounds good. And it also sounds like with all the analogies that you can come up with on your toes, it makes math a little bit more accessible instead of just being intimidating. Here are your numbers, here are your formulas. What is your opinion on the memorization of formulas? Should they be memorized? Should they not be memorized? Should constants be memorized? Things of that nature.
I think it depends on the level of the student. I mean, if I were in charge, I would redo a lot of what we teach. I think there's a lot of mistakes that we make. The structure itself is flawed. I am personally fine with open note tests, but making them like a time limit. Because the idea is, if anyone's ever taken an open book test, the challenge isn't knowing the stuff, it's being able to look up the stuff before time runs out because you're flipping through pages a lot. So the nice medium that students tend to find in that structure is, I'm going to study, but I'll have like certain things at hand, but I might not memorize the formulas because I can just look those up. And I'm all for that because, I mean, it's 2020, people are doing work on computers and stuff. It doesn't make any sense to make people do everything by hand and memorize everything. That's crazy bananas town. But like, there are some, like, I would argue probably elementary school, it's probably a good idea to have them try to memorize like just multiplication and stuff, because that stuff you just have to get burned into your brain for all the other stuff. But I don't think it makes any sense to make like calculus students memorize the trapezoidal rule or stuff like that.
Sounds good. I think I'm out of questions. Did you have any closing remarks or anything that you would like freshman, sophomore aged students to know just to keep them pushing? Especially when it, in regards to, I think with math, don't you eventually get to a point where a lot of your classes are just heavy math, not many electives? I'm not sure.
What's funny is all the other STEM, because I basically tried all the other STEM majors when I was making my way to math, most of the others are pretty what you describe, like with engineering for sure, like you get maybe three electives and the rest is like, I have to take these and I have to take this and I have to go here, then I have to take these. And if I pass this, then these three, et cetera, et cetera. Math is actually the most open-ended of the sciences. Cause like once you get past calculus 2, you can take pretty much any class in any order that you want. And like, I had to take every science as an elective at some point. I needed a physics. I needed two of them. Blah, physics, boo. I had to take like biology, chemistry in a lab. So I got a little bit of everything. So for me, I actually had tons of elective time. If I had to give some advice, I would say one, and this is like, I don't know if university success teaches this. I don't know if the orientation leaders tell people this, but they should. If you email your teacher, put somewhere in the email the class you're in. Because if, like, I don't hate any of my students, but anyone who emails me with just like, when's the test? Like, part of me is like, I don't want you to fail, but if you did, it wouldn't be the worst thing. So definitely, like, just put in there like, hey, I'm in your 10 a.m. Monday, Wednesday, Friday. That's all you need. And they'll be like, ah, good. Otherwise, I have to Google your name on WebStar and all this stuff. The other thing is, especially with math, I can't speak to engineering and physics, but there is tons of places to get help with math, because the good news about math is it hasn't changed in 5,000 years. So like, the internet is a wealth of mostly good sources of math. Also, if like you have a question, there's a very good chance someone else in your class has a question. So you could probably like send a message to the class and say, hey, blah, 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 or email your teacher. And if you have like a shitty teacher, because there's a few of those, email a different teacher. I help other classes students all the time. Like I'm not going to say who, I'm not going to name names, but there are some teachers who I consistently get students from them saying, hey, could you teach me how to do this? Takes me 30 minutes, if that. And then they're like, oh, I understand it perfectly. So don't let any roadblocks stop you, because there's tons of ways to get help in math. I can't say the same about like chemistry, because I feel like they're changing a lot. I don't know. I used to know the periodic table. Cu is copper.
Yes.
So there's that.
Okay, so don't be afraid to reach out to professors, because the worst they can do is not send you an email back.
Exactly. The worst they'll do is, like, no one's going to drop you from their class because you asked a question. If you email and they don't email back, you're probably taking a class from one of those people I talked about who just do research a lot and aren't really good at teaching. And if that's the case, find someone else to consistently ask questions. It'll be the same math. It's not like I'm teaching calculus too different than blah, 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 man or whatever.
All right. Sounds good. That's our episode. Thank you so much again. This has been our math episode with Corey Dumasnell, or Mr. Dumasnell.
Any of it. Any of it works.
All right. Thank you.